Amen. Well, it's great to be here. Why don't we just open with God has just said, I want to share with you what's been my own journey in this, in just basically how the prophetic word came alive in my own life and actually came to fruition. You know, if we can start in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and the third verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 3. And it says, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So there we see the threefold purpose, be like, of the prophetic word. It's for edification. Everyone say edification. Okay? That's to build you up. And then it's for exhortation. Everyone say exhortation. Okay? That's to encourage us. And thirdly, it's for comfort. And so the prophetic word comes for edification, for exhortation, and for comfort. And, you know, I was just meditating, you know, on this scripture and just reviewing, looking at my own life. And I thought about, you know, this, what Pastor Paul shared about us going to today. And I thought, where did that actually start? So I want you to just follow me now on this journey as to where this all started before we actually went to the United States. So edification, exhortation, and comfort, those three things. And you know, have you ever seen those movies where in the movie it kind of starts with the end? So the start of the movie, they give you like a snapshot just of what happens at the end of the story, yeah? Are you with me, yeah? And then all of a sudden, there's a rewind. And three words pop up on the screen that say 10 years ago, yeah? So, or 10 years earlier. Yeah, that's the usual thing. You are with me. And so I had one of those sort of, and the Spirit of God just took me back, rewound the video, and it was about sort of roughly 15 years earlier. And, you know, I saw myself in this little hall in a place called Burnt Oak. It was probably closer to 20 years earlier. And I saw myself grabbing two large speakers out of the back of a van that was parked outside. See, in those days, we weren't all set up nice like we are here. And there I was, like, grabbing these two large speakers, like fallback speakers and other loud speakers, taking them out of the back of a van that pulled up, belonged to a guy called Errol then, who was a member of the church, and bringing them into the church. And then the picture kind of jumped, because I saw myself carrying the same two speakers, but this time, it wasn't out of the back of a van, it was actually from downstairs in a place. I'm carrying these two speakers from downstairs upstairs and bringing them into the main hall. And it wasn't a hall like this, it was much smaller. It was a hall in a place called Barnfield Primary School, also in Burnt Oak. Some of you remember that, yeah? I'm bringing those speakers up and just, you know, putting them in position there. And God just began to, you know, speak to my heart and just show me that, wow, where things began. And, you know, one thing that Pastor Paul and I shared way back then was we both loved the Word of Faith ministry, yeah? And so you have speakers like Kenneth Copeland, okay, and Dad Kenneth E. Hagin, the late Dad Kenneth E. Hagin. If you put them together, we kind of get them Copenhagen. You know, so back in the day, you know, and he said to me once, he said, you know what, Tim, he says, one day, you and I will go to this meeting. We'll go and sit under the ministry of these great men of God, and we'll partake of that, but live, you know, not just on tapes, because, you know, we'd listen to so many of their tapes. You know, kind of, you know, when you listen to tapes and stuff over and over and over, you know, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so you listen to those tapes over and over and over, and we'd listen to them so much that even like the jokes, you kind of know the jokes, you know, Plum and Neely. Anyone know Plum and Neely? What is? No, all black faces all around. Means plum out of town is something that Kenneth Hagin used to say. He said plum out of town and nearly in the country when he was describing a location. He said it's plum and nearly. That means it's plum out of town and it's nearly in the country. But we listened to them so much that we even knew the jokes that they shared on those tapes. And he said that statement that one day you and I will travel together and we'll go and sit under that ministry. And I thought, wow, do you know what? That is just so true. But at the time that he said it, you know, I didn't remember. So fast forward now, probably another 15 years. And this time, I'm not carrying the speakers anymore, but I'm attending a meeting. I'm attending a meeting, and it's at a place called, it's no longer called Barnfield Primary School. It's no longer a school hall. It's in a place called LTC, the Leadership Training Center. And we're attending a men's prayer meeting called The Furnace. And so Pastor Paul says to me, he said, I've been waiting 15 years, thereabouts. I've been waiting 15 years, and God says the time is now. So tell me, get your passport ready, because we're going to go. And I thought, wow. You know, and I had actually, in all honesty, because it's been so long ago, I'd forgotten I even ever said that way back then, 15, nearly 20 years ago, that we'd making that journey. I'd completely forgotten. So I said, yeah, sure, okay, I've got to get things ready. And how many know what an ESTA is, if you ever travel to the States, yeah? So that electronic system for the authorization, for travel, you know, authorization. So I had to go online to do that. But, you know, I was kind of reluctant. There was still a hesitancy to me doing that. And you'd think, well, why? That's the greatest opportunity. But, you know, see, something had happened to me years ago, where someone known to me, still known to this day, had stolen, cloned my identity. So they'd actually traveled to the United States and actually been deported. Wow, exactly. That's how I felt, exactly like that. Wow, how could this be? Because I remember staying there at immigration, telling the guy, you know, there was a delay. And I said, what's the problem? What's the problem? And he said, hold on a minute, sir. You know, they kind of don't want to give anything away. So they tell you to hold on and hold on, hold on. And in the meantime, they're doing all these background checks and checking everything. And so unfortunately for me at the time, this is years ago now, on one of my trips, throughout the time, I actually had back-to-back, I had about two or three passports with me, all my previous passports. I just happened to have them on me at the time. So I said, he said, have you ever been deported from the United States? And I said, no, never. What are you talking about? And so I actually showed him my other passports. And only then, after they'd done all the checks, that he actually agreed with me. I said, okay, you can come in now, sir. But, you know, that stuck with me, because when I came back to the UK, I complained about it, complained about the treatment, about the delay and everything. And in the end, they said, okay, that we understand this, but they refused to update their systems, which is completely bizarre. They refused to update their systems to say that, you know, there's this anomaly there, but it's not me that was deported all these years ago. So when it was time to do the ESTA now, and this is kind of like a blessing in disguise, you know, I had to go online, obviously, and do it. Now you don't go to the embassy anymore. You just do the ESTA online. And that's, you just complete the forms online, and instantly they tell you whether you're cleared for entrance or not. And so I did that online, and it cleared me, and I was authorized, and I was good to go. And so, you know, off we went, you know, to the United States there. And, you know, God gave me this word. And I want to turn to the book of Hebrews and chapter 10 and the 35th verse. Because of all the past history, you see, there was a reluctance in my heart and there was an uncertainty there. But God said this, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Can we see that in the New Living Translation as well, please? New Living Translation. It says, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward that it brings you. Remember the great reward that it brings you. And so while on the one hand, you know, I was feeling, you know, just so uncomfortable with the whole process and stuff, the word of the Lord came to me and says, don't cast away your confidence in the Lord, your confident trust in the Lord. I believe that God is speaking to someone here today and saying, don't throw away your confident trust in the Lord, because it brings you great reward. It says, remember the great reward that it brings you. And so we went. And you know, and I got through immigration, all that stuff, not without some delay, I might add. The same thing again. They do all the checks again and again and again. And it was just that awkwardness, you know, being picked out of the line, being told to go and wait in this waiting room, sit down there, etc., etc., etc. If you've ever been in that scenario, you know the drill. You know, Paul always kids about it and says, tsh, says the rubber gloves just before they search you. But you know, I sat down. You know, but I thank God that I went, because God is faithful. And so day one and session one, everyone say day one.
Day one.
Day one. Everyone say session one. Session one was a great session. And you know, the word of the Lord just ministered to me powerfully. And he made this statement. So we're listening to Happy Caldwell, a guy called Happy. Yeah, you might have heard of him. He's a happy fella. Not Happy Tommy. This is Happy Caldwell. And his ministry, he made this statement, and I wrote it down. I want to read it verbatim as he gave it to us. It says, all revelation, everyone say all revelation,
all revelation.
And inspiration,
inspiration.
Must be followed
with activation.
So all revelation, okay, and inspiration must be followed with activation. And then it's the little PS in it. Otherwise, it becomes head knowledge and powerless. Otherwise, it becomes head knowledge and powerless. All revelation. And I thought, wow, you know, that is so true. That's a word for us. That was a word for me that ministered, and I want to minister that same word to you. That all revelation and inspiration must be followed by activation, otherwise it becomes powerless. And so we need to activate the prophetic word when it is released to us. It is so key and so important. So what is the prophetic word that God has given to you? What is the prophetic word that God has given to you about the different areas of your life? Whether it's to do with your family, whether it's to do with work, whether it's to do with business, whatever area it is, there needs to be an activation of that word in your life. You know, I love the word that Godfrey ministered last Sunday as well. And he gave us all those examples. You know, Peter walking on the water. When he said to Jesus, Jesus, if it's really you, then tell me to come. And Jesus said, well, I'm not going to deny that it's me, am I? So what is he going to do? He said, okay, come. And then what did Peter do? He had to step out of the boat, step out of his comfort zone, and he actually walked on the water. You know, we make so much noise about the fact that, you know, he began to sink. But, you know, Peter walked on the water. And up until that point in time, other than Jesus and him, nobody else had ever done that. I'm not sure anyone else had actually done it since. But he walked on the water. Amen? And so, but he activated that word by his obedience. And so that's the key there, that we need to activate the word of God by obedience, by doing what the word says to do. You see, for me, right there, even just going to when Pastor Paul had said to us, or had said to me, that we're going to go one day, you know, that word lay dormant. I even forgot about the word. I didn't even remember that he'd said that. And then there was a time when I needed to act. You know, everything was in place, you know, paid for, it was all sorted, and things were in place, but I needed to do something. I needed to take some action. I needed to go online and do something. You know, how many remember Pastor Paul's word, you know, last week where he was said, do something. Yeah? He said, do something. And then I was listening to it again, you know, over the internet. And he said, you know, any fat people here trying to lose weight, you need to do something. Yeah? He said, don't just say, and he was talking about that example where people just, you know, keep it in their minds, or they talk about it, but they never do anything. And he said, don't talk about it, zip your lip, and do something. When you do something, people will see the proof. People will see the evidence based on what you have done. And so it's so key there. You know, I can remember being in hospital. You see, and I'd suffered a stroke at that point. And I was laid up there in bed, you know, legs, you know, sort of elevated in hospital. And You know, the Bible says, there any sick among you, let him pray. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save or heal the sick, right? And so, you know, I'd called my pastor. My pastor had come, and he'd prayed for me, and he'd anointed me with oil. But, you know, afterwards, I was still there. And then I can remember, in the small hours of the morning, early in the morning, I was awake. You know, the doctors and nurses, they come in at kind of random times, and they start to fiddle with the machines and check this and check that and stuff, and sometimes you can't sleep. And then the word of the Lord came to me that, you know, you can move. You can walk on that leg. You can do that. And in that state that I was, lying on my back there, I decided, I said, I'm going to walk now. And I just tried. I just put my mind and I said, I'm going to try and move my toe. I had no movement in my left leg. It was like limp. It was like, it felt like jelly, like you're walking on jelly or rubber. And I just consciously began to move my toes. I just began to come. It's like the simplest thing, but then it's like a big thing to do in that situation. And I began to move my toes. And as they responded, you know, faith exploded in my heart. I said, you know what? I can get up. And I swung my legs over the edge of the bed, stood up. I thought, wow, you know, I don't need that cane. I don't need that walking stick that they've given me. I'm not an old man, amen. I'm a young man. I'm full of the joy of the Lord. I'm full of the energy of the Lord. And so I just began to walk, and I walked. Honestly, and I left that hospital walking, amen. And to God be all of the glory. So what are the things in your life? You know, we see scripture after scripture after scripture. And so Noah was told to build an ark because a flood was coming. The word of the Lord came to Noah saying, build an ark because I'm going to bring a flood on the earth. Yeah? And at that time, it had never rained. So people were laughing at him. You know, people may laugh at the word that God gives you. They were laughing. They were mocking. You know, some stories say that they were using it as a toilet. They're just going to do a number two in the ark. They were doing all kinds of things. And people mocked because nobody believed that this was even possible. But Noah had to respond in obedience and begin to do what God was prompting him in his spirit to do. Amen? And so Noah built the ark. But when all the animals were into the ark and the doors were closed and it began to rain, who was laughing now? Because suddenly the tide was rising. Suddenly, rain was coming upon them. Suddenly, the flood was coming, slowly but surely. You see, Pastor, in the times of adversity, whenever there's a flood, God always provides an ark for his people. Amen? You see, the Bible speaks about the rain, the winds, okay, and the floods. That the rains come down from above, you know, the winds buffet from the sides, and the floods come up from the deep and beat against that house. But the Bible says, the one who is founded upon the rock stood firm. Amen? Yeah. And so God is in the business of just making us who he's called us to be. You know, the prophetic word comes for edification, for exhortation, and for comfort. You know, that word that you missed, Godfrey, that we fished all night and we caught nothing. And, you know, and I got something there. I said, you know what? That is just so true. So many times in our lives, it's like we've done all that we know to do in the natural, and then the word of the Lord comes to say, do this. But Lord, I've already been doing that. He said, do it again. We've done it all night, and we've caught it. I mean, these are experienced, seasoned fishermen. But I love the response. Nevertheless, at your word, we will let down the nets. You see, I call Jesus the difference maker. Because at his word, when we respond to his word in obedience, then the Bible says God is watching over his word to perform it. Whose word is it? It's God's word. Amen? Who spoke it? God spoke it. And so we need to agree with God, line up our faith with God's word, and do what God's word says that we should do. And so as he obeyed the word of God, the haul of fish that they caught was so great that their nets began to break because of the haul of fish. Amen? And so God is in the business, okay, of giving you a net-breaking, boat-sinking, amen, harvest in your life. How many want a net-breaking, boat-sinking? Every single one of us. You see, God is the God of miracles. We sing the songs, you know, and we sway to and fro, singing the song. But you know, it's true. We need to take God at his word and believe him, because his word, the Bible says he watches over his word to perform it, and God is a God of his word. You know, I remember when the prophetic word came, a prophet in this church, his name is Bismarck, he said to me once, he called me out and he said, no, don't ever leave this church. And when they said that, I thought, I'm not going anywhere. I wasn't planning to. But you know, since he said it, there have been so many opportunities to be offended, so many opportunities. You know, the devil is constantly whispering in your ear, constantly whispering in your ear, and actually tempting you to do something else, go somewhere else. All kinds of, all manner of things have happened. But you know, God is faithful. And he is faithful to those who stay faithful to him. So I want to encourage you this morning. That, you know, I want to encourage you to activate the prophetic word of God in your life. That every prophetic word that God has given you needs an activation. And is activated by obedience to the word. Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For whosoever hears the word and doesn't do it, okay, that he is a person who is deceived, that he deceives himself. But we are not of those who deceive ourselves. We are of those who hear the word and do the word. We are of those who hear the word and act on the word and walk in obedience. You know, Abraham believed God, by that, and it was counted to him for righteousness. It was credited to his account because he believed God and he acted on the word of God. So Abraham had no children, and God, here's God saying to him, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Not even there, but many nations. A father of nations. Well, how could that be? So many times we are tripped up and we're held up by the how. When God says something to you, our brains respond and say, how? You know, one preacher said, how is none of your business. How is none of your business. Your business is to believe and to obey. Your business is to believe and to do what God said to you to do. Amen? Amen. And you know, God is speaking to each and every one of us that we need to be people who are doers. You know, I love my wife, Mary. She says, you know, she's a doer. And so when Mary, I can remember when she did her driving test, you know, she did it. Shall I tell you how many times? But she's a doer, isn't she? She wasn't dissuaded. She wasn't discouraged. She did a driving test no less than 6 times. You know, she did so much. She took that test that many times that when she was going for the actual test, she never told me. I thought she was going for a lesson, for a driving lesson. And so off she went. She came back and then she burst into tears. She said, I've passed. I thought, wow! But you know, she's a doer. You know, Mary did her first degree in hotel management. And 4 children later, whole career changed everything. She did a second degree, okay, in mental health nursing and qualified with a first class. Amen. Give God praise. But you know, God is faithful. You know, you can do whatever God says you can do. Amen. You know, God is the one who puts you together. God is the one who creates us. The Bible says you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So when God asks you to do something, even in that word that he gives you to do, that he commands you to do it, is the power, is the enablement to do what he's asked you to do. Amen. Because if you couldn't do it, he would never have asked you to do it in the first place. That's the God that we serve. He is a miracle-working God. You see, but we have to cooperate with God in the working of the miracle by joining our faith to his and responding in obedience. Amen. Shall we stand to our feet? Hallelujah. You know, God is faithful. I want to encourage someone today that whatever the prophetic word is that you've received in your life, whatever it is, know that God is faithful. Know that God is the one who is watching over that word that you've been given to perform it. You see, when Pastor Paul brought that word to me, I didn't even know then that he was a prophet. You know, Paul spoke to the disciples. He says, when you received my word, you received it as the word of God and not as the word of a man. You know, God speaks through men, but it is God who is speaking through them. Amen? And so we need to treat the word of God as sent from the Father. He says that my word shall not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which I have sent it. What's the purpose that God has sent his words to you? See, I've put a subtitle to this message and I've called it the year of rich fulfillment. The year of rich fulfillment. There is a purpose for which God's word comes. It's for edification, to build you up. It's for exhortation, to encourage you. It's for comfort, to bring you joy. That's the purpose of the word of God. Every single one of those elements needs to be fulfilled in our lives. And as we respond in obedience to God, as we respond in obedience, then God will hasten his word to perform it in your life. I know there are many situations in this place. Family situations, situations in marriage, situations to do with our children, situations to do with our work and our business. But whatever they are, know this, that God is watching over his word. But you need to bring activation to that word by cooperating with God, by taking a step. It's that step of faith. You know, I remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they'd already decided, we're going to cooperate here with God. So you go ahead and do whatever you want. And so often, we look for an alternative, for another way around the situation. We don't want to take that step of faith to do what we need to do. But sometimes the way forward is only through the midst of the fire. Amen? It's to go forward, it's to go for it. And so I want to encourage every single person here today, under the sound of my voice, that whatever your situation, I want you to take that step of faith in obedience to God, to activate the prophetic word in your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for every prophetic word that has been ministered to us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because this book, the Bible, is full of prophetic words spoken to us, Father. Thank you, Lord, that every single one of them, Heavenly Father, Lord, has been given to us, Lord, by you. And that you are the God who watches over your word to perform it in our lives. Father, you have said that your word will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which you have sent it. It will prosper in the hearts of those to whom it is sent. Father, we declare today that your word will prosper in our lives, Father. That your word will succeed in our lives, Father. That your word will come to fruition in our lives, Heavenly Father. That no word from you is void of power or impossible of fulfillment, Father. Lord, we bless you today, Father. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that indeed, Father, your word will come to pass in our lives, Father. Lord, I bless your people today. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor in Jesus' mighty name. And his people said,